The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.
Welcome to the Closing Market Report for Tuesday, July 22nd, 2008. This is Dave Dickey. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. And later this half hour, we'll have our weekly discussion of the energy market with Mike Wolverton of Kansas State University. Also on tap this half hour, crop production reports from some of the nation's top corn-growing states. And Don Day will give us the latest on weather conditions across the Midwest. It's all on the Tuesday edition of your Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL, a broadcasting service of the College of Media at the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products to farmers in East Central Illinois. Lernard Seed Service provides customer services and agronomic information to help customers maximize profits. Lernard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
Tuesday afternoon, prices settled like this in Kansas City. September wheat, 821, up 1. December, 847 and a quarter, up a quarter. At the Chicago Board of Trade, September wheat, 796 and three quarters, up 5 and three quarters. December, 819 and three quarters, up 5. March of 2009, 842, up 4. September corn, 573 and a half, down 15 and three quarters. December, 592 and a quarter, down 16. March of 2009, 611 and a quarter, down 16 and a half. May, 1623 and three quarters, down 16 and a quarter. August soybeans, 1416 and three quarters, up 7 and a quarter. September, 409 and a quarter, up 4 and a quarter. November, 1409, up 6. January of 2009, 1426 and a quarter, up 6 and a half. August soybean meal, 379.20, up 2.20. August soybean oil, 60.13, up 22. August live cattle, 97.60, down 90. August feeders, 113.87 and a half, down 77 and a half. August lean hogs, 78.75, up 117 and a half. And those are the prices in Chicago and in Kansas City. Taking a look at outside markets for you, August crude oil at 127.25 is down 3.79. September, 128.35, down 3.47. August ethanol, 228, the settlement there, down 9 and 3 tenths. September, 224.4, down 9 and 3 tenths. August natural gas, 10.073, down 43 and 7. September at 10.14.4 is down 44 and 1. Your August RBOB, 314.48, is down 72.3. And August heating oil at 367.75 is down 74. Looking at the hard commodities, August gold, settlement there of $948.50, down $15.20. Silver contract for September, $18.50, down 42. The U.S. dollar trading at 72.47, up 48. The CRB, 421.19, down 7.28. The SRB index at 429.19 is down 7.28, as I said. And the S&P 500 at 1263.97 is up 3.97. Looking at Ed Kieser's two-state forecast tonight, he says in the north and central sections, clear to partly cloudy. In the south, mostly cloudy with scattered showers and thunderstorms, primarily before midnight. Lows ranging from 54 in far northern Illinois to 68 in the far south. And then tomorrow, mostly sunny with highs ranging from 76 in far northeastern Illinois to 88 in the far south. Joining us now for a look at the agricultural markets is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He is in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon, Wayne.
Why, good afternoon, Dave.
Corn fell below $6 a bushel for the first time in 7 weeks. I guess good growing conditions part of the equation. Also, NASA's report that the crop improved in its quality yesterday afternoon. Maybe recovery from the June floods. All I know is, as I drive around, the corn crop is looking marvelous and looking like it's improving every minute.
The corn crop does look immensely better than what it did 3 to 4 weeks ago, Dave. And a lot of people are feeling it's there. We're hearing a lot of reports that there are areas that are erratic as far as clearly across the field. But all in all, the crop ratings are as good as they were last year at this time, and that's what the board is looking at. But I think more so than anything this morning, we looked at the crude oil, how the trade was. We looked at what Congress is doing. They're ready to push legislation, make over-the-counter trade more transparent. And also the Senate bill that takes aim at crude oil energy futures. Procedural vote went 94-0 on that to move ahead with that. We don't think it'll pass as it started out here, but that was one of the things that did knock the crude. It was down over $5 at one time today. That and gold turning around being lower and the dollar being higher, and commodity fund liquidation, which we saw continued at great paces today. So all those together said down market to start the day.
Has crude oil changed its trend in your mindset?
Well, I think we're going down, and you know, I don't look for a lot lower look. I think that we're getting, you know, somewhere around the 120. I think we're going to stabilize this crude oil market, Dave, because there's still great demand by China and India out there. It's not just the U.S.
Are they buying now on based on need or something else? Do you think in China?
In China, of course, they're wanting to stay stocked up ahead of things. Of course, the Olympics coming there. I think, you know, we've seen a lot of growth happen over there, and I think that they want to keep their population happy, and they are expanding just for trying to keep the inflation level down and keep going.
So what do you think the potential downside is in this corn market? Are we going to stabilize roughly in this level, or do you think that this market has another breakdown lower to it?
Well, you know, I think the ultimate downside price target right now is somewhere in that 570 mark. If you'd asked me a week and a half ago, I would have said these levels are probably farther down than I thought it would have went. But I think because of some of the money problems, some of the margin calls, and some of the degree of liquidation we've seen here and people getting washed out of the market, it has overdone itself just like we did to the top side, and the volatility is continuing to be great. And when the volatility is great, we swing a little past on the top side, and we swing a little past where we could probably go on the bottom side. And probably our idea of swinging past would be if we would reach down to that 570 level.
What about 556, roughly the 200-day moving average?
We sure wouldn't argue with you if it did that, too. That's only another 14 cents, and the kind of volatility we have today, Dave, that isn't a big move.
Turn your attention to the soybeans, where we were headed as the corn to a down day, but managed to claw our way back up into positive territory. Anything significant here or just a dead cat bounce?
Oh, I think there was a couple things. A midday model strengthened Hurricane Dolly to Category 1 to a weak Category 2. It's expected to hit around Brownsville and then take a west-northwest path, and that's going to put a ridge trough pattern to sort of keep some of the rain out of the delta that we were hoping would actually help the beans there. And that's where it's dry, Dave, and that's where we're having some problems with the beans. So that, along with some commission house profit-taking, some fun profit-taking. I mean, this has been a heck of a drop. And the guys that were fortunate enough to be short coming into the day looked at the board and said, hey, this is probably enough right now. I'm going to bank some profits in here before something silly happens lot that way. We want to take a look also and say corn formed its low on July 23rd last year. So timing-wise, you know, 22nd is pretty close to 23rd for a year, just a year apart. So maybe we've dipped enough today, or maybe tomorrow will be enough for a while to see if we can't hold this market for a while. We are down past the where we were at before the flooding started.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've effectively taken the weather premium out of this market at this point in time.
And wrung it completely dry of that. What about the basis side? What are your thoughts there for the next 3 or 4 weeks?
Well, you know, just nearby here, we haven't seen what we call tremendous export business going on, Dave. Farmer selling has pretty well dried up, but unfortunately so has the markets in many areas. So we're not seeing a great narrowing of basis like we were there for a little bit when we were trying to move some grain. The bean processors have backed off a little bit, and the Gulf is desolate. It's sort of a standstill just because they don't need them, but they haven't got them bought either and don't have beans moving. So the lower we go, the better chance we have as a basis recovery, though.
Turn your attention to wheat, which, believe it or not, of the three grains, seems to be the one that's holding fast.
How amazing
can it
be? We've got bigger stocks of soft red wheat than we've seen in ages to see the wheat market rally. We hear on the floor that there's talk of dry weather in Australia. Some of the problems moving it on, but yet we continue to hear record wide basis levels, and we just seem to feel that there's something wrong with the way this wheat market is being handled. There's tremendous carry in the market, though, so a lot of the commercials, basically, they aren't delivering it, they aren't moving it out, they're just continuing to store and collecting the carry in the market.
Turn your attention to CME Livestock. What did you see there today?
Well, I think, as we look at the livestock market, you know, we're seeing the grains move on down along the way, and that, of course, making some of the livestock feeders feel a little bit better as far as they look at stuff like that. The cattle, they took a hit today, but fortunately all the feed uses went into them did. You know, cattle being down about $1.10 here in the October, and we saw the near-term cash cattle move down a little bit too. Feeders also moving down on this move. Now, the hogs nearby, we saw a little strength, and we did hear, you know, the pork cutout is continuing to stay strong, Dave.
Interesting thing for me for the nearby lean hogs in August. It's for like about the fifth time that we've been up in this 78, 75 area, and I'm wondering if this is the time we're going to crack it.
You know, we have a real good chance this time, Dave, and I think that it could go on and it could happen here.
Thank you very much, Wayne. You have a grand day.
All righty. Thank you, Dave.
That's Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities. He is in New Market, Indiana.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Doug Slayton in Galesburg at 309-341-5003. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
NASS reports that the corn crop is rated 65% good to excellent. That's a 1% improvement from last week and 3 percentage points better than a year ago. 34% of the crop is silking compared with 13% last week and the 5-year rolling average of 60%. For soybeans, 61% of the crop is rated good to excellent. That's 2 percentage points better than a year ago. 45% of the crop is blooming, compared with 26% last week and the 5-year rolling average of 65%. Here are the crop reports for some of the top corn producing states, beginning with Illinois.
This is Brad Schwab reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending July 20th. The week ended with temperatures averaging near normal, while precipitation averaged 29/100ths of an inch below normal, providing for 5.5 days suitable for field work, during which producers were busy scouting fields, spraying for insects, and applying fungicides. Statewide, topsoil moisture was rated 9% short, 76% adequate, and 15% surplus. This week, the wettest areas of the state were reported in the two northern crop reporting districts with an average of 28% surplus. Growing degree days since May 1, at 1,487 units, still trail the historic average by 95. Now taking a look at the corn crop, 55% was in the silk stage, well behind the 94% 1 year ago and 85% 5-year average. 3% was reported in the dough stage compared to 25% 1 year ago and 18% 5-year average. Overall, the crop continued to be rated in fair to mostly good condition. The soybean crop was reported 39% blooming, trailing last year's 82% and the 73% 5-year average. 6% of the crop has begun setting pods compared with 31% 1 year ago and 23% normally. The soybean crop was also rated in fair to mostly good condition. This has been Brad Schwab, Chief Crop Statistician with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
Hello, this is Greg Preston, Director of the USDA NASS Field Office for Indiana, and this is the Crop Weather Report for the week ending July 20th. The week's hot, humid weather proved that summer is finally here. The warm, sunny weather spurred crop development but also left some fields stressed. A few cornfields on the lighter soils were reported to have leaf rolling. Looking over the cornfields that have tasseled showed the unevenness of the crop and revealed the areas that are still playing catch-up. Field crops that endured the extremes of being waterlogged to hot and dry. Producers worried of how the crops will handle the summer weather since the wet spring left some plants with shallow root structures. Most soybean fields have developed a full canopy, but producers commented that they remain short. Isolated rainstorms at the end of the week helped the corn crop as it entered the pollination stage in a few limited areas. Many producers who requested warmer weather and a break from the rain only a few weeks ago are now asking for some wet weather. Topsoil moisture was rated at 2% very short, 14% short, 76% adequate, and 8% surplus. Subsoil moisture was rated 1% very short, 9% short, 76% adequate, and 14% surplus. Precipitation ranged from 0 to 1.05 inches. Temperatures averaged from a high of 93 to a low of 54 degrees. For the week, 6.1 days were rated as suitable for field work. 63% of the corn acres was rated as good to excellent condition, unchanged from last week and compared with 48% last year at this time. 38% of the planted corn acreage has silk compared with 80% last year and 67% for the five-year average. 39% of the soybean acreage is blooming compared to 65% for last year and 57% for the five-year average. Soybean condition was rated at 58% good to excellent compared to 45% last year near this time. This is Greg Preston reporting from the Indiana NASS Field Office.
This is Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NASS Minnesota Field Office, with the weekly crop weather report for the week ending July 20th, 2008. Warm temperatures and rainfall across the state aided crop development last week, with small grains continuing to ripen with the favorable weather, and half of the soybean crop has reached the blooming stage and 7% of the corn crop has reached the silking stage. The average temperature for the week was 69.9 degrees, 0.3 degrees below normal. Statewide, topsoil moisture supplies as of Friday, July 18th, were rated 4% very short, 24% short, 69% adequate, and 3% surplus. Statewide, there were an average of 5.5 days suitable for fieldwork during the week. As of Sunday, July 20th, the average height of corn was estimated at 59 inches, compared to 78 inches last year and 69 inches for the five-year average. 7% of the corn was silking, compared to 82% last year and 52% for the average. 50% of the soybeans were blooming, compared to 77% last year and 68% for the average. I'm Doug Hartwig, Director of USDA NASS Minnesota Field Office.
This is Becky Summer of the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service Nebraska Field Office with the crop weather report for the week ending July 20, 2008. Wheat harvest was in full swing throughout much of the south, and the southern panhandle was 62% of the crop harvested. Nearly half of the corn is silked. Overall, three-quarters of the corn rated good or excellent, slightly better than last year's crop rating at this time. Over a third of the soybeans are blooming, and some are beginning to set pods, with crop conditions well above a year-ago levels. Oat conditions rated mostly good or excellent, and harvest is a quarter of the way complete. Dry beans are blooming and starting to set pods. The alfalfa acreage continues to be rated mostly good or excellent, with second cutting more than halfway complete. Pasture, range, and wild hay conditions continue to rate mostly good or excellent. This is Becky Summer of the USDA NASS Nebraska Field Office in Lincoln.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Stuart Peterson. For over 20 years, Stuart Peterson has helped farmers manage both marketing opportunities and risks through their analysis, advice, and action. Stuart Peterson, confidence like never before. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
Couldn't catch up with Mike Wolverton of Kansas State University, but Steve Platt of Archer Financial Services in Chicago, Illinois, graciously volunteered to substitute and fill in with our energy analysis at the last moment this afternoon. Good afternoon, Steve.
Good afternoon.
Well, it's been a very interesting day in crude oil. At one point, Steve, down more than $5 before rallying back a little bit, clawing back, but still ending the day, it looks like, in negative territory?
Correct. We're down as much as $3.50 in the September crude, settling out at $128.30. So we went back on the defensive here again today after a modest rebound off the storm worries yesterday. The market weakness, pretty much a combination of factors. First of all, the fact that the storm Dolly, is not going to affect in much in the way of any crude oil installations in the Gulf. And second, the other factor, I think, is certainly the demand side. Given the economic prospects for the U.S., that we are, in fact, hurting demand, and that is leading to some pressure. There was also a report of one large energy firm also declaring bankruptcy because of short crude oil positions, which they which may have also played a role here, thinking that those positions have already been covered and subsequently not much in the way of fresh buying coming into this market.
Is this a pause in the energy market as it heads to higher prices, or are we looking at a correction with more downside here?
I think we're still working through a somewhat bearish intermediate kind of trend in this market that could certainly take it down to at least 120 and possibly below that. Certainly, there's a lot of pressure from Congress and the like to temper some of the speculative positions, and I think that has had an impact in terms of some of these funds and endowments moving out of maybe at least lightening up on their positions in commodities and crude oil in particular, which has certainly affected the market. In addition, we do have supply coming on, particularly in light of some of the Saudi increases, which I think is making the market much more sensitive to the fact that we did see inventories rise last week. And if we see that happen again in the DOE report tomorrow, that could certainly be a factor to contend with as well.
Yeah, the June low, 122.05, the current 100-day moving average, 121.41 or thereabouts. If we break below that, are you of a mindset, then we'll go ahead and try, if I can believe this, try that area around 108?
I think that's certainly a possibility in terms of these markets. They are volatile enough that you can't rule anything out. We've seen the nat gas market go sharply lower here from after reaching well over $13. It's now down toward 10. I think that kind of movement certainly for the crude, which is maybe less negative here over the longer haul, could certainly move down toward the 108. But still, certainly very high prices for crude oil.
Thank you very much, Steve.
Sure enough.
Steve Platt of Archer Financial Services. He is located in Chicago, Illinois. On this day in agricultural history in 1822, Gregor Mendel was born. Mendel was an Austrian botanist whose work was the foundation of the science of genetics. Working mainly with garden peas, some 28,000 plants over 7 years, he discovered what was to become known as the laws of heredity. Mendel coined at least two present-day terms in genetics, recessiveness and dominance. In 1915, Sir Sanford Fleming died. He devised the present system of time zones while working for the Canadian Pacific Railway. In 1954, the Miller Pesticide Amendment was passed. It established procedures used by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency to determine the maximum allowable pesticides that can remain on raw agricultural products for human consumption. The amendment stated no additive shall be deemed to be safe if it is found to induce cancer when ingested by man or animal, or if it is found after tests which are appropriate for the evaluation of safety of food additives to induce cancer in man or animals. And in 1993, the Commodity Futures Trading Commission approved final rules prohibiting the practice of dual trading by floor brokers unless an exemption is granted by the CFTC. And that's This Day in Agricultural History. Listening to the Closing Market Report, this is Dave Dickey. Joining us for our look at the agricultural weather is Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon, Don.
Good afternoon.
Looks like we continue to get timely rain across the corn and soybean belt for the most part.
Yeah, and we really are looking at favorable conditions, not only with the occasional chances of moisture, but we're looking at temperatures over the next week to 10 days. Averaging very close to normal. And so when we get these near-normal temperatures combined with the occasional and, as you mentioned, well-timed rains, well, then we've got favorable growing conditions all across the Midwest. And most of the, really, the Midwest, most of the northern plain states looking at favorable conditions.
I suppose if there is one little pocket that might be seeing some stress over the next couple of weeks, it might be in the far western Corn Belt?
Yeah, they will be a little bit hotter, and they may also, in some spots, especially portions of western and southwest Iowa, they might still have some pretty good soaking heavy rain, thunderstorm patterns that will come on through there. But it'll be the western areas that are going to be a little bit on the hot side. But the hottest weather is going to stay in the west and out of the Corn Belt at least for a week.
We learned yesterday afternoon from NASS that silking in corn is still far behind the national average, especially in Minnesota and I believe Iowa as well. So I guess the question I have for you is, can you look into your crystal ball, shine it up, and go out one additional week to the best of your ability, and what does that third week look like?
It does look warm. I think that they will be able to get some heat unit accumulation to speed things along a little bit. We don't see out to 3 weeks in that first week of August any significant cooling up there. So the trend should be for more favorable growing weather.
What about down in the Delta?
Down in the Delta, well, they will be looking at some thunderstorm activity, especially maybe some increased moisture from some of the northern fringes of what is right now Tropical Storm Dolly, but may become Hurricane Dolly later on. There's going to be a little bit of influx of Gulf moisture into the lower Delta for some fairly decent chances for rain. Now, we expect some of the northern and western areas of the Delta to maybe a little bit drier. It'll be the southern areas that have the best chance of rain.
Do we look for net drying in the Delta during the next 2 weeks?
Well, after we see this tropical activity move away, we probably will.
Turn your attention worldwide. Any areas you're keeping an eye on?
Well, if we were to go over to Europe and take a look over there, we would see that it's trending drier over there. Many areas of Europe looking at near to below normal precipitation, and they might have a little bit of heat stress. We're looking at temperatures over most of Europe averaging above normal, especially in the Ukraine, portions of Russia, and portions of Eastern Europe are going to be a little bit warmer than normal. We don't expect a heat wave, but there might be a little bit of crop stress from some heat and dryness.
Thanks, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day of Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. And that's today's Closing Market Report. Be sure to tune in tomorrow morning at 8:49 for our first in-depth look at the day's markets. And you can listen to today's futures analysis, energy analysis, and weather reports on the World Wide Web. Go to WILLAG.org and click on the audio analysis tab. This is Dave Dickey.